You can take your Bibles tonight and you can go to Matthew chapter 1. We're going to start in verse 1. And given that the holidays are fast approaching upon us, I thought it would be great to look at what the Word of God has to say about the reason for the season, right? Jesus Christ. So we all know Christmas represents or celebrates, acknowledges Jesus Christ's birthday. And even though biblically we know that he wasn't born in December, it's still a great time of the year to reflect and think about what God did for us in sending us his only begotten Son. And in Matthew chapter 1, verse 1, it says, "The book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham." And so Jesus Christ's bloodline traces back through both David and Abraham. And Matthew is the gospel that portrays Jesus as king, which is why it opens with his royal genealogy, right? The bloodline goes back all the way through King David. So Jesus Christ's actual bloodline was of royal descent. Jesus was the son of God and Mary, who was his mother. So Mary's line is the only human line involved in Jesus Christ, and it was a royal line via David. Verse 17 of Matthew 1 says, "So all the generations from Abraham to David are 14 generations. From David until the carrying away into Babylon are 14 generations. And from the carrying away into Babylon unto Christ are 14 generations." Right? So each one of those spans of time happen to be 14 generations apiece. And if you look, we'll go back to verse 11 because this is kind of neat. It talks about, this is part of the genealogy. It says, "And Josias begot Jeconias and his brethren about the time they were carried away to Babylon," right? So we know from the carrying away to Babylon until Jesus Christ himself is born is 14 generations. And if you look through, we'll read the verses, but if you count your begats, we'll keep track of our begats as we go. There's something interesting going on. It says, "And after they were brought to Babylon, Jeconias begat that guy, Salethel." So that's one generation. "And Salethel begat Zorobabel. So that's two. And Zorobabel begat Abiud. And so that's three. And Abiud begat Eliakim. So that's four. Oh, sorry, five. And Eliakim begat Azor, so that's six, and Azor begat Zadok, Zadok begat Achim, and Achim begat Eludad, and Eludad begat Eleazar, and Eleazar begat Mathan, and Mathan begat Jacob, and Jacob begat Joseph, the husband of Mary, so that's 12, and then they begat Jesus Christ, so that's 13. But we only have 13 generations. And it says in the next verse that there are 14 generations. So we've got an apparent contradiction here. So you can leave your finger here and you can go to Luke chapter 3. Luke chapter 3, verse 23. And we know that the Word of God cannot have any contradictions in it, for God's not a man that he should lie. And so if there's 14 generations, well, there needs to be 14 generations. And in Luke chapter 3, verse 23, it says, "And Jesus himself began to be about 30 years of age, being, as was supposed, the son of who?" Joseph. Because Joseph was his guardian father. We know that Jesus Christ was the Son of God, But Mary's husband, Joseph, was who raised Jesus Christ on earth. So that's why it says, being as supposed the son of Joseph. Right? The people around him thought that he was Joseph's son, but he was indeed the son of God. And it says, the son of Joseph, which was the son of who? Heli. So Jesus' earthly father, the one who raised him, was the son of a guy named Heli. Verse 24, which was the son of Matthit, which was the son of Levi, which was the son of Malchi, which was the son of Jannah, which was the son of Joseph, etc. And if you trace this genealogy all the way to verse 38, it says, which was the son of Enos, which was the son of Seth, which was the son of Adam, which was the son or who was from God. Right? So this is Joseph's genealogy here in Luke. And he was the son of a man named Heli, not of a man named Jacob, back in Matthew chapter 1. So if you go back to Matthew chapter 1, verse 16 again, it says, Jacob begat Joseph, the husband of Mary. And that's our problem. Joseph did not beget Jacob, the husband of Mary, because Heli begat Joseph, the husband of Mary, right? It says in Luke that Joseph, Mary's husband's father, was Heli. Well, that's because the word husband here is not properly translated. In the Greek, it's andra, A-N-D-R-A, which means a grown man. And here, it can refer to father rather than husband. Right, so Jacob begets Joseph, the father of Mary, and Mary begets, or has, Jesus Christ, who is the Christ. So there's your 14th generation. So that's just a little fun fact for you. God makes it quite clear that there are 14 generations, and that word should be father and not husband. Verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, or after this manner. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Right? And so his mother Mary was espoused, or prepared to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, meaning before they had relations, if you will, she was found pregnant, and she was found pregnant by the Holy Ghost, right? And that's capital H, capital G. It's the Holy Ghost, God, Pneumahagion. So God makes it quite clear here that he is the Father, right? If he went on, what was that show, Maury? You are the Father. Right? It's God. He was the Father. He makes it quite clear. And it was before Joseph and Mary had relations. So again, keep your finger here. We're going to go to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1, verse 26. Matthew provides a very nice little synopsis summary, but Luke provides a lot more detail. In Luke chapter 1, verse 26, it says, and in the sixth month, and that's referring to the pregnancy of Mary's cousin Elizabeth, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. Right? So Mary's just chilling at home. And an angel pops up and says, Hey, you're highly favored among women, right? The Lord is with thee. And she was like, what does this mean? And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And that word favor is the same word in the Greek as grace. It's the first New Testament usage of the word grace. Mary had found grace with God. God had been waiting for a woman for a very long time to have his son, his only begotten son, Jesus Christ. And Mary was that woman. She was highly favored. Verse 31, And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, or his ancestor David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom shall there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? Right? And that no, again, is to have relations. How is this possible? For me to conceive, I've never been with a man. And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost, or God, shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Right? What a promise. And behold, thy cousin, Elizabeth, she hath also received a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. The word cousin is kinswoman. So he's saying, here, I have an example for you. Right? Your kinswoman, your close relative, Elizabeth, she was barren. And she's conceived a son. Verse 37, For with God nothing shall be what?
Impossible.
That's right. And in the Greek, that nothing is not anything spoken. And the word impossible is devoid of power. So the angel tells her that not anything spoken by God is devoid of power. If God said it, then it's going to happen. And he was reassuring Mary that what God had just told her, which was probably a big deal for a very young woman to suddenly hear out of the blue, hey, you're going to be carrying the only begotten Son of God. He needed to kind of help her to understand that and help her to believe that. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord. Right? And that is from the word doulos, which means a servant. Right, so she said, I'm at your service. Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. So she had great believing that what God had said was going to come to pass. Go to John chapter 1. And Mary was a young woman. Some reckon that she was a teenager. Still in her teens. In John 1, verse 14, it says, And the Word, and this is referring to Jesus Christ, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Right? So Jesus Christ was the only begotten of the Father. Right? He was made flesh. He was a man. He walked around. He was born of a woman. But he was God's only begotten Son. So you can go back to Matthew chapter 1, verse 19. Matthew 1:19. Well, we'll start again in 18 since we took a little detour there. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, or after this manner, when as his mother Mary was espoused or engaged to Joseph, Before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. And that's what God told her via Gabriel was going to happen. Verse 19, then Joseph, her husband, okay, so the phrase, then Joseph, her husband, represents a passage of time, right? Matthew, again, is just a very quick summary of all these events, but she was espoused to Joseph, which means they were not yet married. And now it says, then Joseph, her husband. So this was after they were married. Being a just man, found out she was pregnant, but being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily, which basically means he found out she was pregnant after they got married. That would cause any man to wonder what happened. How come this lady I'm marrying is pregnant? Wasn't by me. So, but he was a just man and didn't want to make her a public example and decided he would put her away privately. Wouldn't make a big stink about it. But while he thought on these things, how am I going to handle this situation? While he's thinking about how he's going to handle this, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream or a vision, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife. And that take unto thee is to consummate the marriage, everyone, to have relations. Don't be scared to have Mary as your wife. For that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost, or is of God. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Right? That's a pretty big statement to give this guy who was just about to sort of put her away, right? Put her away. He said, don't be afraid. You can take her unto yourself. This is God's child. She didn't do anything she wasn't supposed to. Verse 22. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled that which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God is with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep or coming out of the vision, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife. Well, that's nice, huh? And knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name what?
Jesus.
Right? And that knew her not means that Joseph did not get Mary pregnant until after Jesus Christ was born. Right? So further, you know, confirming or solidifying that God was his father. It wasn't Joseph's baby. She had other children. Jesus Christ had siblings by Mary, and they were Joseph's kids. But Jesus Christ was God's only begotten son. And again in verse 21, it says at the end, for he shall save his people from their sins. That was God's plan. And can you imagine being Joseph and getting that information? Right? Like, hey, don't worry. The kid she's carrying is for me, and he's going to save people from their sins. No pressure. Just don't mess him up or anything. Go to John 3. John 3:16. I'm sure his parents, I know I do. I'm always worried I'm going to do something and mess up my kids. Can you imagine if it was the only begotten Son of God? We're not going to read the record tonight, but they lost him at one point. I mean, that's crazy. They left town without him. It's like going to the grocery store and then checking out and realizing your kid's not there. It's wild. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be what? Saved. God gave, right? God gave. He so loved the world that he gave. Right? The world didn't deserve it. None of us deserve what God gave to us. But he so loved us that he gave the life of his only begotten Son, so that we could have everlasting life, so that we could be saved from our sins. Right? That's how big God loved. And that's why, you know, at this season, traditionally, people give gifts. It's a time of giving, right? God gave the biggest gift he could give us, right? In Holy Spirit. Go to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, verse 1. Luke chapter 2, verse 1. And this is the record of Jesus Christ's birth. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed to register for a census, is what that really means. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called what?
Bethlehem.
Right? And that's about 90 miles away. So they had to make a journey of 90 miles. To give you an idea, that's like walking from here to Cape May, approximately. So it's not a short walk. It's going to take a little while. But that's where they had to travel. And they wouldn't ask these people to do this in the dead of winter. Okay? So that's the other part of it. I mean, there's more biblical evidence that this, you know, happened in September, but they wouldn't ask folks to all go to these places for this census and registration in the middle of winter. Verse 5, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. So she was very pregnant at this point. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And isn't that just so cool, right? That she would give birth to Jesus Christ in the city of David, right? And that was his city and that royal line. That he wouldn't be born in Nazareth, but would be born in Bethlehem. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, you shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And they went and told everybody they could about it, right? The world needed a Savior, and still does. And God's love is just so big and so incredible to make that available. Right? The angel said unto them in verse 11, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Unto them. Why? Because God sent his Son for all mankind. Right? That's why the angel said to the shepherds, unto you is born. Those shepherds had nothing to do with Jesus Christ otherwise, but he was their Savior. Go to Romans chapter 8. And that's how big God's love is. He so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. He's the reason for the season. Romans chapter 8, verse 14. It says, "For as many are as led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption," and that word is sonship. "You have received the spirit of sonship, whereby we cry, Abba, Father." So God made it available so that when we believe Romans 10, 9, and 10, right? When we confess with our mouth that Jesus is our Lord and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, then we're saved. It's that easy. We don't have to do anything else. Then we're saved. And we receive Holy Spirit when we do that. And that Holy Spirit that we receive is a spirit of sonship, whereby we cry, Abba, Father, or Daddy, Daddy. Verse 16, "The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God." So we too are God's kids. We're not begotten of God like Jesus Christ was, but we become God's kids. We have Holy Spirit just the way that God always intended mankind to have. And we too are the children of God. Verse 17, "And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together." We're joint heirs with Christ because he's our brother, right? We're brothers and sisters of Christ. Verse 28, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow," referring to us, "he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he," Jesus, "might be the firstborn among many brethren." Right? Jesus Christ was the firstborn among many brethren, who are us, the ones who believe that God raised him from the dead. "Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called." He called us. "And them, and whom he called, them he also justified." He justified us. "And whom he justified, them he also" what? "Glorified." That's the way that God sees you. You're his kid too. And he loves you so very much. God sent his only begotten Son so that we could have life, so that we could have everlasting life, and that we could have a more abundant life on this earth. That's how much God loved us. And Jesus Christ is the reason for the season. So when we think about this time of year and the giving and all the stuff, let's be reminded of what God gave for us. And let's be reminded about what Jesus Christ gave so that we could be called his brothers and sisters, that we could be sons of God too.